Got a motion, Mr. James, to approve it.
Second.
Second, Mr. Mills, all in favor.
Okay, we have a petition by Laverne Outlaw Jr. located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County Parcel Number 30-13-12-3596-0001-0160 at 197 Southeast 218th Street, Old Town, Florida, 36680 to request a variance for a reduction of the side setbacks to zero for rebuilding a boat shed adjacent to parcel number 30-13-12-3596-0001-0150 and a reduction of the rear setback to allow construction of a boathouse over 12 feet of the property from the canal side for a fish cleaning area by the petition dated March 30th, 2022, which is located within section 4.7.7. RSF/MH, subparagraph 2 of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations in accordance with section 12.3, variance procedures, Commission District 3, Mark Hatch.
Any opposition?
This has been opposed 2 times.
Are they here? Yes, sir.
I'm one of them.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure that I have opinions on.
You want to come up here and look at it?
Susan Mayfield and Rodney Grimes. Mr. Grimes?
Yeah, I'm the neighbor and she's the neighbor.
Right here's
what he's proposing. Right here's your existing boathouse in place.
Yep.
And he wants to tear this one down,
move it over to
the property line, actually swing this boathouse over to give,
is this you?
Yes.
To give you more room than what you currently have getting to using yours.
Yeah, as long as it's off the property there, building proper.
Yeah.
And then this swing is parallel to this because what happens is the more you swing it this way, you see how that...
Yeah, see that property line right there is right there, and it's actually, he's giving you more room up on the water.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this is not, this line here is not parallel with existing room, so it's
just... He's coming off of, yeah, it's swinging the other way, off of you.
Right.
See the property line right here?
Yep.
He's probably, what, a good 6-8 foot over right now?
Where there or here? Yeah.
Right there.
That's one. Yeah, that's probably. Give that, yeah.
So you're actually gaining that back, plus probably a couple feet right there also.
Yep. Okay.
So you're probably gaining 10 to 12 foot.
Yeah, if I can get a survey done there and we can establish where that goes, I should be okay with it.
You know how long it takes to get a survey?
No, I don't. It depends on who you call.
Yeah.
No.
No,
they're all busy.
They're pretty busy. So you're opposing him giving you more room?
No, I'm not opposing him.
Okay.
This is exactly
zero is going to be right here at the very beginning.
Correct. So is that including overhang or excluding it?
Mr. Outlaw, can you come answer this question? Your overhang, where is it going to be? On your property or his?
It's going to be on the zero.
The overhang itself. So you will have zero on him, period.
I will make sure there's zero on that property.
Okay. Yeah, the only thing I was requesting that was just parallel what it is now. Because the farther you go out, it just, that boat, that dock goes to the end right here.
Mm-hmm.
So it, just me scaling it, I had like 9 foot or 10 foot from there, just ballpark scaling. I just want to make sure mm-hmm. I have enough. Because right now it's encroaching.
You don't work with him on that issue. I mean,
you can tell from your drawing that you've already slid it over. So there's your property line. You slid off the property line there. What goes on to the water is quite a bit. Your zero's up here at the head end.
Yes,
yeah, like I said, I was just trying to square that new one up with the exact same parallel lines that the old building was.
Yeah, and I don't think by looking at this drawing, you can't do that. And if you do it, do what there, you actually got a lot more room there.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you square it up?
Because then you're going to have a lot less room.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
No, I'll argue with it, but you would not. So that property line would run this way out there.
Straight out.
It would run straight out.
What I'm saying is that property line runs straight out. But comparing this here with this existing line here pulls this over.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
Exactly what I was saying.
Okay,
all right. We
agree. So okay. You're still in opposition?
No, I'd probably be okay with it.
Who's next opposition?
Mr. Susan Mayfield.
Is she here?
They have a hand raised on the line.
On the line.
Okay. Go.
Tell her, Jamie, she's unmuted.
You unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Susan Mayfield, and I own the property adjacent to Rodney Bryant at 171. My concern about this is that it would completely block my view of the riverside part of the canal. Right now, the view I have, and the only view from the front to that side of that end of the canal, is between Rodney's boathouse and the existing boathouse of Laverne. And by extending the proposed boathouse further, it completely cuts off my view of that channel. One of the things I have enjoyed the most about Suwannee, since I have no longer been able to do the physical things like oystering and scalloping, has been the view down there. And I really would not favor or go along with anything that would compromise the small piece of view I have left in that direction, or that would lower my property value because of the view.
Miss Susan, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Mark Hatch, County Commissioner, District 3. Looking at these drawings, he is not as far out as what Mr. Rodney is. Mr. Rodney is a little bit further out than what he is. So this, there's no way that if you can't see through Mr. Rodney's, so you probably won't even see his, period.
Well, no, I can actually see there's a window, and it's not clear from the map that I have here, but from my front porch extending out towards my boathouse, there is a corner of the porch that gives me a view that cuts between Rodney's boathouse and the existing boathouse. It's a small window, but it's still a window that allows me to look down towards that canal. And I would invite any of you to go onto the property and to see for yourself. We've cut down several trees to enhance that view, and there really isn't anything else that I could do. But extending the boathouse beyond the existing boathouse by as much as proposed would completely block that view from the side of my house.
So you have a small window, is what you're saying, that right now, currently, you see in between Mr. Rodney and Mr. Allen right now.
Yes. It's not a window like a window in the house, but it's an area of my porch that I can see down that way.
I was just repeating what you said.
Oh, okay.
So that's the reason I said window.
Okay.
That's your only complaint there on that?
That is my complaint. I think that the boathouse could be built along the shore of Rodney's of Laverne's property, I have been told that the reason he does not want it built that way is that it would compromise his view.
Is that true?
I wasn't listening to her.
She said the reason that she was building that close there, you're going to block her view, but the reason you would not build it on the other side, but I see trees and all kind of stuff.
If I build it on the other side, it's going to be next to her brother, and that would impose...
And my brother has voiced no objection to this.
I'm not going to move the boathouse, young lady.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Miss Susan.
You're very welcome.
Do you have anything else?
No.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Susan.
You're welcome.
Looking at this, he's not as far out as Mr. Rodney's. He's actually trying to get his stuff back on his property. I hate opposition, serious, but there again, from looking at this, I feel confident that Mr. Rodney's okay with what Mr. Outlaw is doing. Ms. Susan's going to have a problem. I'm going to make a motion to approve.
We got a motion by Mr. Hatch to approve.
Second.
Second, Mr. Valentine. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
A petition by Brian Sheehan located on the property is described as follows. The county parcel number 19-13-12-2994-0002-1780 at 145 Southeast 228th Street, Northtown, Florida, 32680, to request a variance for a reduction of side setbacks to zero for the rebuilding of a three-bay 30-by-40 boat shed by the petition dated March 30th, 2022, which is located within Section 4.7.7 RSF/M8, subparagraph 2 of the Dixon County Land Development Regulations, in accordance with Section 12.3 of Variance Procedures. Commission District 3, Mark Hatch.
Any opposition?
No, sir.
Motion to, are anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone opposing?
Motion to approve. We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor? Okay.
The CPA 22-04 is an application entitled to order the County Commissioners to amend the text to the future land use map series and the future land use map of the comprehensive plan based upon evaluation completed by the county to reflect changes in the state requirements pursuant to 163-3199 Harvest. In your packet, you receive the plan council prepared for us with the evaluation amendment report, combined with the year report. The deadline is due for it's not a perfect report. And I spoke to Mr. Dean about this, and the other truth is you're going to make amendments to it. It's not like it was previously. We had two opportunities during the year to make amendments to it. I think it would be more transparent and probably better that we address each item as they come up and then not make amendments accordingly. Unfortunately, even if you did like the way it was right now, we can't reject it and it's due back to the state. If we don't accept it, then we're not allowed to make any map changes or any kind of changes until it comes back. Bad situation to be in. I wish my opinion on this previously, but there was no workshop call from the planning council on this matter, like I think there should have been. But at the same time, know we're going to make changes. We have the ability to make them. So after reviewing it, we got to turn it into the state. We're going to go past the middle of this hearing. We're going to make individual changes that will come up, and it'll be more transparent that way. That's the truth.
Mr. Jing, who's he with?
He is building building an airport area. We hired him to be our independent consultant for our office, and he reviewed it, and yeah, he's got some problems with it. A little too late. We got to turn it in. And we kind of laugh about this with kind of cookie cutter that they hand this to you and say, here, this is what you need. And then you know there's problems in it. And they don't quote with us on it. Mr. Gray, you've seen me previously. I don't know if you got any comments on it or not, but that about summed it up, in your opinion?
Yeah. So we just need to accept that and then
we can accept it and move,
then
on.
Move on to a case-by-case scenario, kind of like.
There was a time, I don't know when they changed that, to where you went from two times a year to them do it any time or after.
Right.
And so before it would have been a real good issue, but not so much of an issue now.
Motion.
So if we set accept it, then when we come in the issues, it ain't something that we can't deal with.
We can fix it. And we're going to fix it. We're going to go through it. And I think this will be a better way of setting each item that we do come across with a problem. Bond is still in this part of the meeting. had two gentlemen that come in. They have a project in Kena that they want to talk about. They had a bunch of questions, and I told them exactly. I present information to the board. I don't get the vote on it. I did look at it. It is currently zoned as a RSF one district. I gave you a printout copy of it. They want to change the density of that area right there. Through clay spotting, wind spikes. Wayne could be here. He just passed the contract exam today, and he's traveling. But Mr. Clay is here. He'd like to speak to you.
We need to take action on this at this time.
We don't need to.
They're asking about CBA 2204.
Do you want him to vote on that?
Yes,
we got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second. Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
So I haven't closed on the property yet. William and I have not closed on the property, and we are seeking you guys' comments before we close on the property to see if this is something you guys are interested in. We are looking to put it private homes in there. We're looking to put in a private boat ramp to take alleviate some of the congestion at the public boat ramp at Dixie County. And the ultimate goal is to raise the tax dollars for Dixie County. That's what we're looking to do before. Kind of wanted to come talk to you guys before we purchased the property and wanted to make sure that there's no issues here.
The property that y'all talking about, y'all have city water and sewer available?
Yes, sir. It was in right away. It actually runs past it down to Farm Yard.
Mr. Hayward.
Howard.
I get his name mixed up every time. Do you have anything to say on this? Well,
I will do as much as you can possibly do. We have your blessings. So until y'all can give us the blessings that we can go forward, I think we'll stand still. But I think with your blessings, not be able to let's go forward. I think it'll be for good for the community. It's not an RV park. Houses.
The houses.
It'll have private boat ramp. Take off a lot of pressure off of the normal ones we have. Have a private dock. So it'll be almost like the stuff in vain. So y'all would allow us to go forward. That would appreciate it.
Leon, I got a question. Are they going to ask for guidance on that? Because we're just going to have to advertise the property
just
the
guidance.
Public hearing before they can vote on it.
Just guidance. Before y'all's next meeting, we have to close on the property. So more or less just wanted to kind of come and talk to you guys.
I don't think they can text. I mean, basically asking them for a vote right now.
No, definitely not asking. Just more or less bringing it in front of them and just kind of... getting some comments and some
thoughts. Ain't trying to block y'all or anything.
No.
We got to do the notice for public hearing. I'm just advising the board of that. So you're aware, don't go to making votes on it.
Is there zoning right?
They asked for a zoning change or a density change.
They want to change the density from 2 houses per acre down to 4 houses per acre.
4 acre lot.
The zoning for the RSF go on 3. Allow for a higher density than that, but based on their lot width, while they're going to have to request it for the level. But it's currently zoned as an RSF.
So there is plenty of water and sewer to it, so it won't be an impact on the river.
How big is the parcel?
8.24 acres. Well, me personally, I ain't looking at the Dixie surrounding this area all along this river. What I'm looking at, some of this here, y'all going to be actually larger than some of this density I see already chopped up on this map, so I really don't have no problem with it. Once we run through the proper channels.
Again, ain't trying to cut in there, but they just had a bad meeting in Taylor County. They moved the goalposts. I don't want y'all to lock yourself into a hearing here. Then after you publicly advertise it, then move the goalposts.
We was there.
But we was all telling them that it's okay.
It's got to go.
And they
closed
on the party to property.
No,
we
want to know.
It's going to put you in a bad position, so just realize that.
We feel comfortable enough that if we bought the property and we had to stay at the current, we could sell the lot and sell houses. No, we're comfortable closing on the property. We're just more or less, you know.
You still on my board to look at me and why don't you tell me something?
No, we look at back and say, hey.
No, I trust what you're talking about. No, I don't. I'll make a motion. Well, I mean, I know what you're saying.
Thank you, guys. Thank y'all.
Need a motion to go. Need a motion to go back to the board.
Okay.
Got a motion from Mr. W.C., second Mr. Hatch, all in favor. Aye.
That's it, Mom. I'll go get out of my car.
Are you giving me one?
Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Resolution 2022-56, business
to merit. Got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second,
Mr. Valentine, all in favor.
Resolution 2022-58, Kenneth and Pamela Warkey.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. WC.
Second,
Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Resolution.
You ain't got to do all that, Mr. Just WC, just good.
Resolution 2022-63, Andrew and Taryn Firm.
Motion from Mr. Hatch.
Mr. Hatch.
Second from WC.
Resolution 2022-64, Samuel Dennis Redd.
Motion from Mr. Hatch. Second from Mr. Valentine. All in favor.
Resolution 2022-65, Kim DiFilippo.
Motion. Motion from Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Aye.
Resolution 2022-66, Mark Carden.
Excellent. Motion from Mr. Valentine.
Second.
Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Aye.
Resolution 2022-67, Laverne Outlaw, Jr.
Motion.
We got a motion by WC, second by Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Aye.
Resolution 2022-68, Brian Sheehan.
Second. Got a motion of Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
It's
just the hat, I'm sorry.
Resolution 2022-69, CPA 2204.
Motion by, thank you, Mr. Hatch. And second by Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Ordinance 2022-06 or CPA 22-04.
Motion. Got a motion by Mr. Stevenson, second by Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
No, we don't do that one there. That's
the
first reading.
Take all them motions back. That was the first reading.
All right.
Miss Cecilia, it's your turn.
Hold on.
That was just the first read.
I am Cecilia Walker. Thank you very much for giving us the County Historical Society of the I have Cindy Tune with me. She was formerly a butler, and she's got 8 generations in this county, and she's a member of our Historical Society. 2021 and 2020 were hard on individuals and organizations alike, as I'm sure a lot of you know. And our historical society was not exempt from that. We have been running on fumes almost. We are denied access to the county jail. We rely on memberships, donations, the sale of our books, and the few festivals we are able to attend during the year. After discussing historical society matters with members of surrounding counties' historical societies, we've learned that several of their county governments support their operations with a monthly stipend. We're currently making every effort to build our memberships as well as planning future events. We have membership applications for all of you commission members. We have some members of you already, have already joined, and we would very much appreciate y'all joining us as well as considering our application for assistance at your next budget hearing. We had to reschedule our last Monday meeting due to scheduling conflict to this next Monday, and we would appreciate it. Would enjoy having some of you join us. It's sort of we have bats in the belfry, and we have a smell down there right now, so we're going to have to address that this next summer. But we're located in the Old Town School, there at the corner of 349 South and 55A, and our meeting time starts at 6 o'clock. So if you will, come join us next Monday. But thank you for your time, and please consider adding the Historical Society as a budget item on your next budget hearing. And I have a receipt book if anybody wants much donation this evening. For joy, we have more applications. Thank you,
ladies. Thank you, Miss Cecilia. Miss Carol West.
Thanks for letting me substitute. As you can see, I'm not angry
with this. Miss Andrew couldn't be here today, so.
We all know that internet is a must. It's not an option anymore. It's considered a utility everywhere. And we deserve service in rural areas just like metropolitan already have. So what the state has done, safeguard under the Department of Economic Opportunity, is put out some guidelines that we must meet in order to ever eventually apply for funds. Whatever that funding looks like, whoever that company is, whatever the broadband winds up looking like, fiber or whatever, in order to proceed towards those steps, they have a new Office of Broadband. That was in June 2020. And they're trying to figure out what they're supposed to be doing, too. But they've come out with a thing called a toolkit, and I've kind of given y'all some information there for your nighttime reading session on that. the point is, there is no way that a rural county that's just like us that has insufficient staff and everybody there is already wearing 20 hats could possibly meet all these guidelines. There's no way. The time frames are almost up. They're in their past, actually. But no other county we've spoken to, including a lot of the counties, has done all these items that need to be done. They still have to be done. So what they're saying is that you'll be able to, to do these, but you need to do them soon. And here's the catcher. The funds will be there. There'll be funds flowing. Federal funds will be flowing through the state for broadband for rural areas. But what happens dramatically if November elections change that? And that ticket starts getting a little bit not so flowing so freely. We want to have our application in. That's the bottom line. So in order to do that, we've got to do a lot of things. And I felt Dwayne and I talked and said, Scotty, we think we ought to try to keep you abreast of what basically volunteers are doing to try to get us in that, move us in that direction. So let's just say there's 10 items on the list we have to do. Luckily, we have done 3. We are way ahead of some counties. Not Taylor County, but we're ahead of other counties. We have set up a committee, state committees, but that's what we have, we call it another working group. And what they mandate is that every single industry sector in the county must have a representative on that board. Now, some people have agreed to be on the board, but they haven't shown up to a meeting. Some have shown up to the first meeting and haven't shown up since, but they're still there. And we have to send that information to the Office of Broadband. So we met, we tried to decide what it is we're supposed to be doing, how do we accomplish this toolkit. We started last July after we were able to get a $5,000 marketing grant through the EFI, or through the DEO, to reach out to people. Okay, find out. And then, all know that's a speed test, right? It's on the Board of County Commission's website. If you have not, go home tonight and go to the commission website from your home computer, device, tablet, whatever, not your cell phone, and take that speed test. We only need 300 more. We will be complete with that because our grant ends June the 30th, right?
Correct.
So we will be done. We will, the county will be completely reimbursed for that expense with a company called Geo Partners. And they are great because evidently they are good. We chose the right one because the state's now using the same company. So what they do when you take the speed test, it tells them, you know, obviously what your rate of speed is up and down from your, as you put in your physical location. Okay, so we can find out what they're looking for is counties to apply that have underserved areas. I don't know about y'all, but the way I see it coming down, Scott, it's most of Dixie County's underserved, right? And the people in town that do have fiber or whatever are paying tremendously. We're hearing $800, $900, $1,300, $1,300 a month for fiber. For a small business, that's crucial. I mean, an insurance company, have you thought about that? Insurance company tells me here in town, just for their property office, they're paying $800 or $900 a month because they have to upload and download pictures of accidents. And so they have no choice. They have to have it. So it's a utility. It's not something we would like to have as a luxury. It's something we all have to have. So the next two steps on the list for the task force and for all of us is that they want a business and community survey done. Well, we kind of looked at it today and kind of a couple of days ago, and we kind of said, how do you get this done? So hopefully TV20, it looks like they're going to be able to allow us to piggyback some other counties, Gilchrist County in particular, by getting that announcement out that we need this survey done. But in addition to the surveys, also they want to know, how do you plan to use the Internet? What kind of things do you need? What are you doing now? What are you willing to pay? What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? So it doesn't mean we have to like it, but it means that we want the money, we have to give it, and so does everybody else. Now, on to how do we proceed with the actual getting broadband? It appears to us at this point in time, based on the different companies we've talked to and the different initiatives going on, that Central Florida Electric Cooperative might be the best possible partner. Nothing's decided. They haven't decided to be in the business. But they're weighing it heavily, and they've spent a lot of money doing two different feasibility studies. And they're down to talking to two different companies that would actually be almost two different ways. And one way, they would be the whole provider and the owner, and then the other way, that company would actually be the person you call for customer service and to get an account and all that, but it would be on Central Florida's line. But their commitment is tremendous. They said they promise service to every one of their members. You know, that's the mission of a co-op. They can't do just a few. So the all 26,000 members would have the opportunity, not the requirement, okay, to obtain fiber from them at a fixed rate. That's the best news of all. Mm-hmm. So most houses would be paying between $49 and $60 for internet. Yeah, exactly. It would be for the commitment. So let me see what their commitment cost them. They were projecting originally $65 to $75, maybe even $80 million. The feasibility study they're looking at now is more like $123 million. Okay, so they obviously, if they take on that kind of debt, what does it do to the financials of the co-op? They said they've been building since 1939, all of a sudden it's just going to wipe everything out, and there will be a debt for the next whatever years. Their build-out plan is 4 years, okay? And they won't start just in Lee County. They do a little bit in Lee, a little bit in Gilchrist, a little bit in Dixie, all at the same time. So that's good news for Dixie and Gilchrist, right? But this $123 million keeps, you know, and that's not even something, but just a certain amount of inflation. If inflation stays high or if costs start going up, it could be more, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So what they're asking is that we start considering how to help them with that because counties can apply. Cities can also apply. But here's the catcher with the state. Only one entity can apply. So if a city in Dixie County jumps out and applies, they've ruined it for everybody else. But if the county applies, then we don't want anybody else to apply. What they're looking for is underserved communities. And we have them. We know we can do it. Libby County has advantage, believe it or not, the poverty level is higher over there than it is here. So they have an advantage too. So what we're thinking is that it's going to be a tri-county co-op that's going to be, let's just say, driving this flying this airplane, being the captain of it, then we're all going to be passengers on it, then we ought to look at applying for the money to help as much as we can. Ideally, they'd like us to apply for $30 million, but realistically, more would be about 8 or 10. Now, the only thing that would include would be GINA, right?
That's correct. That's okay. With the Tri-County.
Yeah, that would be the Tri-County provider. So everybody else in Dixie County would have it. Their thing is they have to get it to their substation. This is why they're so interested. They have to get it to their substation. Their substation technology is advancing so fast, so they have to have fiber to their 10 substations. So guess what? That benefits us. Now, people are going to be asking, what if I'm on go? What do I do about it? They're going to serve you too. They have to. Why would they run down the road, just one road here in Dixie County, do go one side, and Central Florida those other people be able to tie in. And we've just stated they do not want to be in the broadband business at all. They do not want to be in the fiber business, and they were glad to get it to their substation. And then Central Florida can now treat you just like they want theirs. You will get a separate bill, obviously, from your new bill. You still will be served. So basically, every citizen that wants it in Dixie County can be served, whether they're Duke or Central Florida, right?
Yep, and just to add to that about Gina, with the Tri-County and with Jefferson County and Senator County, they're also looking into, so they would serve that area coming from there. So we might partner with them as well with Taylor County. But this is still a few months out, but we want to be prepared. Ms. Carol, as always, has helped the county, you know, volunteering our time. She's done spent, you know, a lot of hours on this. This is something we wanted to update the board on. And to let y'all know that we'd look into it. And at some point, I would come to the board and ask, you know, hey, we would like to structure an application now and maybe, you know, put out bids for that and get a team to help us, just like we did the ARPA monies, because you got to meet all the federal and state guidelines. And, it's, you know, it's just like a grant opportunity. So,
you got to manage it.
Yep.
You got to manage it.
It would still be managed out of the county manager's office.
So we have
to take as board, we would be applying with these different groups. And hopefully to serve all of our community as a whole and not just one area.
If the three counties couldn't decide on one person to do the grant and submit it to the Tri-County,
yeah.
And they told us this afternoon we're not the broadband, that will put you up the ladder on funding if you apply as a Tri-County.
Private companies are providing it.
Yep. So it means you're going to have to look at some expense, but everything that's worth is going to cost money to do it. It's going to cost to apply the grant, it's going to cost to manage the grant. But if we want to see this happen, to get in it for $8 to $10 million in Central Florida taking what they're taking on, whichever way they wind up going, is quite an undertaking. And it's taken there for months and months and months, and they spent quite a bit of money on these feasibility studies. But I'm thankful that there's somebody wanting to do it. And here's the other thing. Some of us have been here a long time, remember what happened in the past, right? We don't ever want to see that again. But it alleviates us from having to pick a company and putting all of our eggs in one basket with one company, then you're not performing. So Central Florida's been to Georgia, you know, they've been to North Florida, they've been out to the Panhandle to see where both of these companies are.
Tri-County, right? Tri-County,
right? They are.
They're way ahead of us. About a year ahead of us.
They're kind of watching that, by the sense, yeah.
How are they?
Changing out 80 to 100 poles a day.
That's Tri-County now.
No, that's the company that's doing
it. Yeah. How is it going to be handled on some of the smaller companies like in Cross City and different areas that's already providing some of that and the other taking
over? You, the consumer, have the choice to pay for this bill or cut it off.
Central Florida already has the infrastructure. I mean, they got the phones. It would only make sense to add lines on their existing.
And they know phones will have to be.
Like the old telephone wires was on there.
Some
phones
have to be changed even though they have already a 3 to 5 year maintenance.
I guess what I was asking, we're trying to get all this grant mail and all this stuff. Can they apply for that same funding?
That's why they need us to
help them.
If we can. And they're thinking, was it Levy County ought to take the majority of it, and then Gilchrist and Dixie ought to do a smaller part? And they really were thinking 25 million at first, and then they said,
Miss Carol.
She is our spokesperson.
Scott and I are working behind the scenes on this. Miss Carol does an absolute tremendous job, and we do appreciate her giving back to the community like she does.
Yes. Thank you, Miss Carol. All right. Mr. Danny Perdue.
Miss Danny? With TDC?
TDC. Okay. Mr. Gray.
Don't have a whole lot. Just received but executed on the Florida security upgrade. The contract time will start a couple weeks on before May 2nd is when the contractor time will start. Parking lot, the nurse award was sent to the contractor on that's been executed. We've been coordinating with the contractor trying to get a start date and their schedule. We have not gotten that from them as of yet. Once we get that, we'll issue a next proceed on the parking lot out back. There will be some work to be done by the county once we come to get all that organized.
They're supposed to notify us about 3 days ahead for mobilization. Yeah.
362nd, 364th, I think I told you in the past we submitted those to DOT for review. We don't have an update from them other than the person that's been heading that department up. His last day will be Thursday. We don't know who's going to be taking his spot, so maybe slow it up as far as getting these approvals back from DOT. They've had quite a bit of turnover in that area. The person above them changed out about a month and a half ago. And then working. But we're trying to find that out and keep it moving as best we can with the remaining staff. I don't think we told you, but we did do the letter after Commissioner Stevenson brought up Mr. Cronin from the governor's office. We did send, we drafted the letter, and Dwayne sent it on, asking him for his assistance to see all that we submitted and gotten funded in the past. But also appreciate all the things they've done for us. And, we looked at Purpose Landing Road today. Basically, got a road that bisects in the flow of the overbank flow of the river there. Every time it floods, you're going to have those situations. It's only at a certain elevation. The floodwaters are going to seek the lowest point or the weakest point in the road. It's going to wash it out every time. What can we do about it? Well, potentially you have to get a permit, but you could raise it up a little bit. You don't know that... we're going to raise it up, be able to raise it up high enough to eliminate it going underwater totally. We just did something similar to that, or did an evaluation similar to that for Gilchrist County. So that they're evaluating that, but when you raise it up, because you've got levels on either side, the road will get narrow because we can't expand the footprint of the road if you want to do that. It will require some additional culverts to be placed in there if you want to do that. The other option that I think is probably a little bit more practical is take a couple of those locations and go in there and put a little dip in the road and concrete over that, not asphalt, but put concrete. It's like a low water crossing. That'll be the low point for that water to go across. And basically encourage it at those locations, but then we got it armed so it would not wash out. Obviously, if the water got deep enough, at some point the county may have shut the whole road down, but that wouldn't give you anything to be able to utilize the road. Those are just two off the cuff. Could look at some other stuff, but feedback from the board.
So. On the low water crossings, because we do those to get them up high enough that, like, when the water gets up to that point to start cutting the road, put the low water crossings in high instead of carrying them way down low.
Well, we don't want them no lower than we have to have them, but it needs to be. The road needs to be higher than what the low water crossing is. So
I guess what I'm saying, if we kept low water crossing high, like where that water's cutting the roads into now, it really probably wouldn't get deep enough that we had to shut the road down. If you follow what I'm saying.
Well, I think
right now, Tito, there's a lot of places on some of those roads when they cut them, it's like it gets like 6 inches above the road, and then it starts washing, then it cuts a trench.
Right. Well, then you could have like, you know, 3 inches right now, or if you had it in there, it probably wouldn't wash the road out at the time. Everything would
still be accessible.
It would still be accessible. Then all right. Now, we haven't seen this in many, many years what the river could get to. I mean, eventually, I haven't looked to see what the flood elevation is, but I think it could eventually get deep enough. That
72 or 48, it ain't gonna matter. They was driving boats in Old Town. The stop sign was just sticking out of the water.
Well, I just want to make sure we're not designing for that.
I'm just saying for the norm.
Yes.
The average.
We talked about it in our school board workshop, and we've talked about it in our commission meeting multiple times. That road that circles around by the county yard and goes to the roof frame school. They are going to be mobilized, in, I'd say, within a year, hopefully, to do that other road from the middle school to the high school. I'd like for Greg, to look at that road and maybe see if there's something we can do. I don't know what our right-of-way stuff is through there. That's supposed to be 60-foot with DOT stuff. I don't know if we got 60-foot through there. They just start doing a little bit of homework on that, or Dwayne or somebody. Dwayne, I see you taking notes, so would you go through Greg or go through us or your office?
Well, specifically, if you're asking for us to submit for a grant, we can obviously can be one of y'all's top three picks for the scuff and scrap.
Right.
Come out and resurface it, rework the whole road from there. Is that what you want to evaluate?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
terrible
shape.
My recommendation would be to get it on the five-year plan, unless there's a
but I don't know if there's something out there on the five-year plan, because it's kind of like the roads in Swanee. The right-of-way is not going to be going to meet their criteria.
My position would be let's go assess it and see what issues we have to be able to do that, what options we have. And
I'll submit to you the roadway name and all the logistics.
Are y'all good with that, there, him doing that? That was something I know, Jody, you brought it up at the workshop.
I think we definitely need to do something with it. I mean, what simply happens when the new school was built, the rerouting of the buses, keeping them off 19, running that route through there, has really took a toll.
That leaves it out?
Yeah. Yes, sir. It is in the foul shape. That added weight and traffic is worked that road over. And like I said, it's going to be still quite a ways out before we get that road that we're talking about helping them fix so they don't have to run that way. But this thing ain't going to hold much longer.
No, it's not.
It's pretty bad now. A lot of the residents are calling about that road.
I'll get you the list of the roadways.
Let's take and assess it, and then we kind of tell you these are the things that we see, and then we can have an informed discussion as to what we
okay. That's what I want. I want an informed discussion on that road. So it sounds good to me.
Okay.
We have a status on the done on
Shaver. I do not have that. I can look that up. The
is she specifically talking about, is that the LAP project, the safety?
Okay.
I can give a brief update on it. Where it's at is for us, the county now, to review bid documents through the group consort. It's either consort element. I forget which one is handling that.
That will be on the bid documents.
Okay, so that's the phase we're at. Okay, so on the bid documents, we're to submit with them and get with them and work all the bid documents out. So it's almost at the advertisement stage. So I don't know the time frame of that. It's normally 3 to 6 months till you see construction. So end of the year, hopefully. Is that reasonable?
I think you should get it here before the end of the year.
Okay.
I think it's going to be probably the fall before you see that thing.
It's slow. It really, I mean, it's not that we're not working on it. It's just slow.
At least we did get them restriped, though, these last couple of years. So we are making some progress.
Yes, that's my executed.
That's being handled by DOT in a different program, and their schedule, they move, but they move at a snail's pace. I hate to say that for the county, when we do these grant programs, we can knock them out, whether it's us doing it or John Street doing it. We're not saddled with some of their procedures. No, so we can get them done a lot quicker. But if you're dealing with state, they dot every I and cross everything about 5 times.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Thank you, Mr. Craig. Lockyer.
I don't have anything unless you have any more questions.
Y'all got anything more? Thank you. Miss Cindy, she's out sick.
Yeah, she's not feeling well.
Mr. Steve Freeman.
Still out.
Mr. Steve's out too. County Road.
Hutch is spraying in Horseshoes for mosquitoes. Wayne Johnson and his group spraying in the county.
Okay, for a good deal.
They working on mosquito routes.
Yes, we've got.
So. Hutch is out working, spraying, and Mr. Chauncey, he's out spraying with police. They out there spraying, getting these mosquitoes sprayed. All right, Mr. Latson.
He's not here. Let me
see something out there.
Okay.
I know we all talked about this preacher and his wife, and he called me Monday. I think it was Monday.
What? Monday.
And they took his wife off of life support. She's doing extremely well. So the power of prayer is working in County and everywhere else. But just wanted to give a quick update on it. He's had his hands full, and to be honest, he has not missed
that much work.
He's trying to keep his personal life separate from his professional life, and I commend him for doing that. And just wanted to give a quick update on that. We all the board members asked for the same prayer request, and I believe it was answered.
Mr. Leon.
I'll be brief. Yesterday I was contacted by Michael in regards to Eric Griffiths. This was an agenda topic that we spoke about back in February, and my understanding that there was a commissioner or commissioners who had questions about the gentleman with his license and wanting to get the certificate with the gentleman. So previously had spoken about this matter, and we also been through instruction and license before. But if there were any other questions that I could answer about this.
I know I talked to Mr. Griffiths about 45 minutes to hour, but he sent me his license number, and I've done some research with our attorney, and he's got to take the test. Just what you've been saying.
And I want to make the record clear, Madam Clerk. I do have a conflict of interest in this case. I've told Leon that.
Yep.
I told the board that previously. I still have a conflict. I'm partners with Mr. Griffiths on a certain project. I'm his attorney for Salty Secret Builders. I want the board to know that, the club to know that, to be completely transparent.
Yeah.
But I was contacted by two commissioners, being Mr. Story yesterday and Mr. Stevenson, and Mr. Griffiths showed up at the office. I know Mr. Leon was on vacation this week. Didn't want him to be blindsided. Passed that information on to Leon to let him know that Mr. Griffiths was planning on coming to this meeting tonight. Our conflict counsel is Chayna Watson. That's been decided years ago. If I have a conflict, that's to go to. I immediately contacted Ms. Watson, let her know of the issue that she may have to pick it up. Well, I do have a conflict. Just want the record very straight on that, but I did evaluate it and then look at the law, and I did contact some of the licensing board, and basically the viewpoint is he don't have a state license. So it would be like he have passed all of the tests or have passed tests, and but it would be no different than a lawyer coming from New York, moved to Florida and didn't pass the Florida bar exam, opened up shelter across the street from between me and Ms. Watson, and come here and asked y'all to let them practice law in Dix County without having to pass the requisite test. So that would be an analogy to what's being asked. But for the record, I do have a conflict, so if y'all need more advice on how it goes any further, I plan on getting Ms. Watson involved. That's conflict time.
But I'm going to say something else. He told me that before I started asking questions, and he's still done his job for us. Because me and him did go over that, so I'm going to say that. Thank you for doing that. And thank you, Mr. Leon.
For being
I'll add to that that he contacted me after he talked to Jamie. He brought all his documentations and all that, and when I referred to him, he said that the board could do whatever, you know, they could vote him or whatever, and I said, no, sir, that's not the chain of command here in Dixie County. We have a board, a licensing board. Say somebody has a competency card or does something, they go before the board within the county. You've got a board,
he's been before
licensing governing board. You're supposed to go before them. They research the gentleman, then they bring it before the board, and then we render a vote. So I suggested to him that he needs to get with the contracting licensing board that we have already in place within the county.
I just want to make it very clear that trying to influence our, issue a license that is fraudulent would be illegal. And under no circumstances will I sign off. I just want the board to understand that.
I understand that completely.
That I have vetted this. I brought it up previously. It's been brought in to me. Like this is the second time. I turned it over to HR. But I don't think
he can
come back before me again.
Has it been before the licensing board? He's already went before them.
They voted on it, and everybody there has agreed that this gentleman does not have a valid license. We have a state expert witness for 26 years in the business who was on a phone conference with the county manager who was willing to testify to that.
So basically, if he don't take that test and pass it, he can't get a license.
He's not able to pull a permit in this town. A lot of times you'll see entities where they hire other licensed people and they work that way. But
he just can't pull a permit. That don't mean he can't build, because he can build. He just can't pull his own permits. Correct? That's like me. If I didn't have my welder's license, and I wanted to drill a well, if I had someone that would pull my state permit, Swan River Water Management permit, then I could still drill that well.
Under
his license. But then if I did something wrong, it wouldn't be on me, it'd be on that person. So I got my own license, and I've had people to try to get me to pull. Nope, I don't pull permits for nobody else because of that. So I don't blame someone else if they wouldn't,
Carlos, my take on this, I've not spoken with Griffiths whatsoever about this. I'm not going to never ask Leon's to do anything that, number one, is illegal, and I feel the whole board feels that same exact way. So I can't drive WC's log truck. I can't drive Jody's well driver. I don't have a PDL license. I can't do it. And if they let me drive it, they're crazy. I promise you, they let me drive it. So, I support
that. We ain't letting you drive it.
I know you're not. And I'm telling you, you better don't. But I support what you said.
Just for clarification, there are different licenses and different levels. There's a register, and then there's a state. Under registered license through the PBR, some counties will look at that, like our board would go and check if he'd done adequate work, and so on and so forth, do a background, if he's ever had any problems, and if not, so they can give you a conference call. But anyway, we got a board for that. It should have been us that should go before the board.
A registered contractor, someone who is registered a local county or municipal certificate of competency. Registered licensees can only work in the counties or municipalities where they hold a local license. They cannot work anywhere else in the state. They have not completed a state exam. If they want to work in a new city or county, they are required to register in it. However, they have to register with the state to get insurance, fingerprint, and meet financial stability requirements like a certified contractor. If you're looking to work in many areas of Florida, you will need a certified contractor's license. With a registered contractor license, your license resides in that county. The main difference between a registered and certified contractor license is the registered contractor did not take or complete the state exam. In terms of quality, registered contractors, don't matter, but that's the difference. And when I talk to Dale Colton and done my own research, talk to Philip Bryan, who are all general contractors, or several general contractors, they don't think it's fair that they had to go pass all of these tests and go through the thing, then allow somebody to come in that didn't have to go through the education and pass the state requirements. Well, it wouldn't be fair.
I mean, they left that basically.
To articulate and reiterate, I I've never been a liability to you. I'm not ever going to tell you something that I haven't researched myself. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. But still, now, if you pass a state exam, bring that to us and pull any permits you want. No problem.
I hope he does that, because I want him to be able to build, but he can't right now.
Like you said, there's plenty of prep courses out there that process them every day.
I ain't going to say he can't build, because he can get somebody else to pull the permit for him.
But that's all I have.
All right. Huh? So that bad.
Oh, sorry. I was on vacation all week. It was my 20th anniversary appointment day for this meeting. I know that we lost the funeral on technicality for the code enforcement case for the crab traps because it was a procedural issue. That's a land use versus a code enforcement issue. Crab traps are being brought back. They're being brought back. Dabs has called and complained. We have a written complaint. Need to know board direction. I need to process this through the land administrative board and bring it back before you, like it was outlined by the judge.
Just like the judge sums up, instead of Steve as code enforcement, he is the LDR administrator. Will give us every notice. If you don't move him, then we've talked to the state attorney's office. For every day he's in violation, according to as a second degree misdemeanor. For every day he's in violation. And the state attorney talking to me and Leon and Steve, he would back that if an affidavit was signed by the LDR administrator after the warning is given on this time and he's given 10 days or whatever to cease violation, they will file criminal charges at least. So Leon, the question is, are y'all ready to go to that extent?
I'm ready.
Can we make a motion?
I'll make a motion. You do whatever you got to do to legally get them gone.
And do it right this time. Straighten out what we've messed up last time.
Yeah.
We got a motion with WC.
I second it, too.
And Mr. Hatch seconds it. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Take care of it.
You can go down and notice him when you go on vacation and give him the 10 days and do your affidavit just exactly what we was educated on.
We'll do that Monday.
How long has this been now? 2 years.
Yep.
2 years, y'all. We've been fighting this.
Well, it's 2 years plus, $1,500?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The people of you don't know, these crime traps were put in an area that we zoned for ice house. So they just went to buying crime traps in there. Right up next to the people's homes, and I mean, you can't even roll your blender down when they bring them in.
Oh, yeah, I had to do if when they come in, they're using it as a staging area, and we'd ask him if he would just pressure wash the trap as they're coming off the boat, but he won't do that because he stubbed his nose up to us, and he's a guy that when he leaves here, he goes back to Gainesville, wherever he's at, in a gated community where his house is okay, but down here...
Now, I've been to some of the other crab trap people that's got their traps on their property by their house, and they don't stink at all.
Because
they clean them. I can just spray them off. That's all they got to do these is spray them off.
All right. Thank you, Leo.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Leo.
Enjoy the rest of your vacation.
And happy anniversary. Mr. Brown.
I'm looking for a little clarification and asking if we need to take either board or vote. Previous to my time as the director, I've been told by the previous director, and I don't know how the information was passed. In the past, we have charged for that. We get called to a residence and the patient doesn't want to go to the hospital. Right now, we don't charge anything. We're burning $5 or something a gallon of gas, diesel, and we don't charge anything. And previously, we did. I was told that some of the board had received complaints and didn't want that done, and that's why it was stopped. But again, that was all before my time. We're looking for revenue every way we can get. It costs us money to go to these homes. Money is not the biggest issue. Bigger problem that we have in our department right now is that Sunday morning at prayer breakfast, we sent an ambulance to a toothache. Don't have a dentist on the truck, gentlemen. We had a patient last year that was in rehab for 4 months. During the remainder of the year, they called us 59 times that we did not transport.
But y'all went to their house.
We went to their house every single time, sometimes with multiple trucks because the person was a larger person and was generally not able to get up on their own because of their extracurricular activities. And although they did have medical conditions, the reason for the calls was not related to the medical conditions. It was because they had fell down and couldn't get up. And it's my hopes that if we do start charging again, if the board so chooses to do that, that it will curtail some of the abuse of our system. Because quite frankly, many of my folks feel like they're taxi cab drivers many times because they're just back and forth for stuff that is not a true medical emergency. I don't think I have a soul that works for me that would have any problem carrying anybody to Michigan if they wanted to go, if that's where the medical facility was for a true medical emergency. But there is an abuse system going on, and I hope and feel that this may curtail some of that. So I'm really looking for the board's opinion on this because I was told that the board was the one that didn't want to do that. Previously, we charged $50. I think that's a little less than what it should be nowadays. My billing clerk has said that she thinks it should be $100. This does not affect people if you're in a car wreck and somebody calls and says there's a wreck, or if, you know, I call and tell them that Mr. Hatch has a medical problem and they get there and he doesn't. If it's a third-party caller, we don't bill for that. This is strictly where you call, I need an ambulance, and then you decide, I don't want to go. So I need to know where the board's at, if you would like for me to bill for that, if you would not, and if so, we need to look at them.
Bill them. What I say? Ain't nothing free.
$100.
These people are going to have to pay if you don't.
Yeah.
That's right. It's their money.
I feel that it should be on a discretionary type thing. I mean, if you've got an elderly person that calls and they fail and they can't get over nobody, they call y'all and can't get up, y'all go and assess them, and then they're okay. I don't feel like...
Well, I guess what you're talking about here,
I mean, they're
after the assessment.
The problem with that is that leads to abuse as well, because then everybody comes that way. And I do understand what you're saying. You know, it's one of those touchy deals. It's not a lot of money. We're probably talking a few thousand dollars a year, literally $3,000-$5,000 a year. It's not that much. The benefit of curtailing some of that abuse would be the bigger asset that I see. But that is totally up to the board. I'm just looking for clarification on how you want me to proceed. There is a revenue source there. And there is also some ability to help us with some savings if we can slow down some of that abuse of calls.
So that's what you're talking about, is slowing down unneeded.
Yes, sir.
I know of a few people that can't get what they needed because of that.
To provide that discretion is really difficult for us. It is. And you know, we can designate the third-party caller thing, but to tell our crews to decide how old they are and what, it becomes really difficult.
So, y'all run how many calls teams with 350 plus?
Last year we run 4,582 calls, I believe it was. About one-third of them were no transports, so I'm not sure of the math there, 3,000.
But what I'm asking, does the no transports get counted into the 350 a month? Do they count to that?
The total runs, yes, sir. Yes, sir. They're counted as the total runs. That's what I said. We had about 4,500. About one-third of those were no transports. So we're looking at about 3,000 calls we transported.
I have a question on clarification.
Yes,
on that. Just a for instance, I have an asthma attack. I call 911. You come out and maybe you have a nebulizer, you give me a treatment, I'm fine. I don't need to go to the hospital. What do my tax dollars pay for that goes for EMS? And would I be charged that $100 or whatever, even though I'm not going to the hospital?
That is nature of the call that would be charged. The tax dollars paid for guaranteed there is a service there. We bill for transports. Your tax dollars is not the only revenue source for our department. One-third of our budget comes from collections for our calls. That that is the people that we transport to our insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, so on and so forth. People that we don't bill and we do provide treatment for, fuels, gallons, nebulizers cost us money with oxygen, IQ, and very steep. Yes, sir.
If we issue a nebulizer, we don't have to transport.
Yes, sir. When we provide care, we have to transport. I really didn't listen to that deep into it. Yes, yes, we provide care right now. The medical director says we've got to transport. We can't provide care and leave someone else. Now, care, I'm not talking about a vaginal wave or something, but we give drugs or treatment.
Right. Got to get
have to carry that person to the hospital.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
Is this just a bill that gets sent to them in the mail that they're supposed to then write a check and send back, or is it billed to their insurance?
If their insurance company will pay for it, then we will take it from the insurance company first, yes, ma'am.
Okay, but you are able to process
yes,
their insurance.
It processes just like the rest of our billing, just through our billing department, just like the rest. And the insurance company will pay for that, and we can send back. And I'm not sure of what they will and will not do right. That type of process, so I can't answer that for you.
You did make a motion.
I did?
Yeah, we got a motion by W.C.
I'll second it.
We got a second of Mr. Hatch. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen. If we're going to call, just let me know. We'll work around it. That's all I have, unless y'all have something.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Scott.
I don't really have anything for the board this time. Or going next to me?
Thank you. Miss Gail, I don't think Miss Gail is here. Miss Holly.
She might be on the phone.
Miss Holly, you on the phone? She ain't on the phone.
Miss Angie had to leave as well.
Miss Angie,
my turn.
Miss Angie's gone. All right, Mr. Dwayne.
Sir, Mr. Chairman, on the county manager report, a few action items, some information items. We'll start out with action item number one. I request board approval to execute the request of a shift assistance purchase of a home from Deidre Garnett in the amount of $20,000.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Mills. All in favor?
Aye.
Number two, I need board approval to execute the request of a shift repair reimbursement for Noah King in the amount of $15,000. Motion.
Second.
We got a motion by Mr. Stevenson, second Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Number three, I need board approval of a 30-day time extension for the contract between Anderson Columbia and the Dixon County Board of County Commissioners for the bike path trail on County Road 351A from US 19 to the Nature Coast Trail. It's the lap road project. It's putting in the sidewalk due to material delivery and subcontractor's issue, and this is pending attorney review. I have not yet received that, but it's projected to be coming. I'll send it to the attorney for review, and we'll get it signed. And just in case it comes in, I didn't want there be no gap in that contract before the next board meeting.
Motion.
We got a motion by W.C. and second by Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Number four, I need board approval to execute the design exception approval letter for County Road 340 road project, and it goes from State Road 349 to the Swan River Bridge going into Gilchrist County, and this is to meet the DOT guardrail deflection standards. DeRobin Associates is working on the plans. We went out in the field with Commissioner Stevenson and myself, Paul Ganey, and one of our road crews, and this was one of the things we knew that we'd have to submit to DOT. I've heard Mr. Bailey talk about the backlog up there, so my recommendation would be to get this in as soon as possible.
Second motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, second Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
To go along with that, we need approval to execute the design variation approval letter for County Road 340 road project from State Road 349 to the Swan River Bridge going into Gilchrist County to meet the FDOT guardrail deflection standards.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
I need board approval to move forward with the next year's calendar purchases. That's the 1,000 press and stick calendars at 44 cents each, 2,500 large almanac calendars at $2.13 each for a total of $5,765.
Motion.
Got a motion from Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye. Information items. I actually missed the school board workshop. It was my understanding about y'all had worked it out for the two properties. Michael has an update on that in just a minute on about the surveys and all, or, you know, you cover your spot. But I just, for our understanding, I just want to make sure we get that, get it going. The next thing, the Northeast 305 Avenue, Mr. Story.
Yes, sir.
It's projected to start the first week of May. So we're looking.
I'll fix the app.
That out there. That's all I have, unless you have something specific for me.
Mr. Hatch.
It was going to be in my commissioner item, so I'll go ahead and do it now, then I'll just be quiet then. But I got a call today, Mr. Brent Weeks. He lives right across the road from the Ruthlands Middle School. And that project we got going on over there, they're cutting some trees down. Dwayne, correct me anytime I'm wrong.
Yes, sir.
What we're doing with them trees, we're cutting them up, going to haul them off and dump them and burn them.
That's right. That's our in-kind portion for that water management project with the contractor. Yes, sir.
And, Mr. Brent said that he would like to bring a skid steer over and get them trees off, you know, that's usable, to haul them off over there to his house if y'all are good with that.
I don't have a problem with
him. He's going to get up for firewood, probably.
Yeah, firewood, he's got a little sawmill that he's playing with a little sawmill also, but for his personal use, not to sell. So he made that very clear. But I don't have an issue with it. It's just going to be burned up anyway, and that's more we got to mess with. Are y'all okay with that, Dwayne? You want to do that in the form of motion, or just tell him to get them?
We can tell him. I'll do, Mr. Chairman. I would like to check with the school facility and attorney there to make sure, because it's on their property. I'll just get that okay. If y'all give me, you know, if that's y'all's decision, y'all are okay with it, I will ask them for their approval. And then we're telling him to get him. I don't want it to be held up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He can do it.
So we can work on.
He can hold it over the weekend.
I can get an answer on that first thing in the morning, but I would definitely want to make sure through our facility director and our insurance,
that
that's something that we can
commit them
to come on our property
duties. Well, he can get them ASAP, but as soon as you find out that it's
if it's allowable, we will give him permission to do that.
Okay.
Cool.
Good deal. And that's all I have.
That's all you got?
Thankfully. Mr. Mike.
I've kind of interjected throughout the meeting, and Leon took care of a lot of mine. Dwayne took care of some of them. I have prepared and conducted all of the closings on the properties that the county advertised for sale. Jamie assigned the deeds. They've been attested to by Barbie. I have received the funds in my trust account. The county will receive one lump sum check tomorrow to the Board of County Commissioners. Barbie, you'll get a check for all the recording fees.
It's already taken care of. Sorry.
You're not going to pay?
I've already done it. Yes.
So all that's been done with the exception of two properties, which was advertised after the initial, I think, nine parcels.
Yep.
And Matt Coach team, Dr. She's going to get with Mac and go by my office to get that arranged. So that's the update on that. If you get a call from Miss Rhonda Rouse, if she's here, she's been calling my office pretty regular. I don't have any comment from Miss Rhonda Rouse, so if she says I'm not answering her, I'm not going to, because I can't provide enough information for her, and she'll tie my entire office up. So if she calls you and says I'm not returning the call, I probably have not. If y'all want to direct me different on that, I'll listen, but
what is she calling you for?
What kind of don't she call about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything.
Mr. Chairman, she called our office, what, three times a week at the least to request different information all the time.
Always alluding that this board is doing something wrong or unethical.
Yeah.
That's the conversation every time, pointing fingers.
And yeah, she turned me into Tallahassee, and they threw it in the trash. Thank you.
Yeah, but that's what it's about. I don't have time to sit there and discuss that. I don't believe this board is doing anything illegal or unethical. She's turned in multiple complaints to the Ethics Committee and has had Tallahassee down here and had them investigating.
And that just takes time away from everybody's day, and I don't have time for it. So.
Yeah.
I mean, if she has something legitimate to talk about, I'll be happy to talk to any citizen in this county. But to call three or four times a day or three or four times a week with the same issues and just to be aggravating and to be aggravating.
She's made threats, too, in this court.
Yeah, I'm
courthouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She publicly blasted me on Facebook, but I don't have anything to say to her. So y'all clear on that.
Thank you.
Other than that, y'all have any questions?
Thank you.
There's a lot of projects that have been, I got some ordinances that's coming, have been voted on two or three weeks ago, but some other things that still get placed throughout the county, but they are forthcoming. So
okay.
Got some things in the works, such as the driveway ordinance, so they are forthcoming.
Okay. If everybody leave you alone.
Everybody
can get out of
that.
Let's take them out.
I don't have anything tonight.
Commissioner Adams, Mr. James?
No.
You got them? Mr. Hatch?
No, I'm going to be quiet.
Well, are you sure? This is your problem.
Mr. Stevenson.
I got one thing for Dwayne on the, I'd asked you previously to get with the check on the signs on 351, the speed limit signs there from the Elbow area back where they was up and they went and missed. Was that part of that, when they paved that road, was they supposed to be there or what?
We're looking into
where did they go?
We're looking into it with the state on the requirements. I reached out to North Florida, so we are checking on it. In the meantime, I had asked the road department about it, and if the commissioners want them specifically put back up in certain places, then that's what we would do. But I don't
as
think,
a lot of the citizens in that area, are, you know,
I don't think it's through that project.
Yeah,
I think it was a requirement.
Yep. By God, I'm looking at her paper right now.
Dollars and a speed test has to be done. I mean, help me on that.
On
as far as establishing a mile per hour,
to
change or to establish it.
I think it was it was already a sign there, it just went missing.
Well, there were signs on the bottom end, on the top end. It's kind of where those curves are right there. It's kind of congested where Wayne's old store was.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had all the county trucks not doing it now coming in and out of Rock Pit. And then they're around where the Four Wolves old store was. But the signs went up when the road was paved, and I thought that was part of when that road paved. They did the survey and determined what the signs were supposed to be.
That's what I'm trying to verify with the state, but I don't know that it was a state amended. I think the state just replaced them where the county had them at some point. But they get moved on every county road, I mean, because they do go and
make some paper about that.
No, sir. County Road 350.
County Road. We put a marble
on
the
time we were going to give it to the state.
Put that marble we want to put it at. That's our decision. So put the signs up.
Yeah.
At 45. If that's what the citizens want, put it there.
Dangerous person.
Yeah.
In my face.
Oh, there's been multiple wrecks. Right? I know exactly what you're talking about.
Before the board.
Yes, exactly right. I remember.
Well, I know. I was trying to figure who was on the board.
Yeah, I was. So, it's our road.
We'll get some signs
up. Jody, what you want to say at 45?
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're the commissioner out there in that district.
That'd be fine with me. But, I mean, I think that's what was there thought.
Yeah. Put them where you want them at. Put them where Mr. Dorsey says.
Get some road. Trying to get somebody's house. And then fast then. There's people are driving 65 semis. And I'll make
something. Can we do that? I don't know the
answer.
It used to be posted right there, this side of the first curve.
And I think it need to be signed there.
Out on through there, posted 45. There ain't none of them signs.
Hey, three of them was on that road, and all three of them gone.
For a year.
And I've been asking and asking about where they went, how they got pulled up, and...
And
the same road wasn't they supposed to be there because I didn't know you could just go.
Call you. I tell you, they just went out of there.
Call no doing
time. No, call FHP. We'll put Jody on a test run or run about 100 down through there. And we'll let FHP decide what he's supposed to be running right there and then post the sign. It's going to
that
be
young man that lives right there, he'll let you know.
It's going to be 45.
They've already won sitting there.
He's 45 years.
I mean,
do
you know how to get this?
And it's been voted on.
The proper way to get this done?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell us the proper way to get it done?
If the regulatory signs, the white signs are regulatory, yellow signs are not. You cannot write a ticket on yellow signs. You only write a ticket on white signs.
These was white signs. When a road, my question is on a road like that, when it's paved, don't y'all have places when y'all pave a road that signs have to be put up in the project or in the engineering?
When
y'all typically show where all the turnoffs are and where sign placement is on those roads.
That's true.
But that should be attached, what I asked Dwayne for. It should be on when that road was paved for those signs. It should be on there. Where they supposed to be? And the mile per hour.
And that speed limit on 349 to 1,000.
Yes,
that
sir.
If we all change it, you
And I was trying to verify those locations, and then I was going to ask, hey, is that the proper way? He asked me to look into it, find out where it was. I have not gotten the answer. But if the board wants us to put 45, I mean, y'all the board.
No, I want to know where
I'm at. I'm just trying to figure out.
The way if it's a county road,
but we need to find a location where they
if we're changing the speed, we've done it on 349 down there by the Old Town School a dozen times. You have to go through the advertisement and the ordinance stuff. You have to change the speed to drop the speed or raise the speed. But if it's posted at 45 and it's been there forever,
Yep. That's 45.
We just talking about putting the signs back up. That's right. That's what I said. Tell Dave Gerger to put signs
up.
We know where they were. I can't see.
Yeah. Mr. Jody, you done?
That's it. I mean, in some of the subdivisions, some of the residents are concerned about there's no signs on these county roads. Typically, in a residential area, it should be like 25 miles an hour. We got a lot of, as we get into summertime, some of them running down there. They showed me a video of one dude, I believe he was doing 100. He didn't stop it all the way when he went through. In there around the... Between Purvis and 351, all that subdivision in there, we need to get some signs, certain locations.
He wasn't at the west end of Purvis, I promise you that.
I'm sure if you'll talk to the sheriff's department, you'll find out. They cannot legally enforce a sign on a rock road.
What is the legal speed limit on a rock road?
55 is state law.
But if you, for them to enforce it, it has to be paved.
Don't say that out loud.
Well, I've tried that on how to change it before it has become paved.
55, I'm supposed to be true. That means you should do 55 on most of these roads.
You know, Mr. Jody?
I guess so,
Mr. WC.
A couple of things. One thing, I've had a person contact me wanting to buy some of that spoiled dirt down that horseshoe. I asked Hutch about it, and he said it was up to us, but that there was some, like, over the berm that you had to tote back with a front end loader that he'd be glad if we sold it because it would save us money on toting it back. So I missed one. I told the guy I'd asked y'all, bring it up. I'm bringing it up.
Yeah,
Can we legally sell dirt mulch?
I don't know.
That's dirt that we dug out of the ditches?
No.
No,
no, it's all
dredge.
That.
Dredge. Dredge. Oh, dredge. Okay, okay. Yeah.
Dredge pulled. Obviously, you can't mess with this berm.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, what are we going to do with the next guy that asked?
Tell us the answer.
Look into it.
The $100 question is, what are we doing with the material now?
Kind of like the trees you brought up laying over there. Sounds easy to go there again, but then you got to get these Google learning.
Well, at some point, the material's going to have to be moved to be able to keep dredging.
Yep. Obviously, the practical and the common sense approach here costs the taxpayer money for us to handle it. And somebody handle it for us.
That's the common sense approach. They're paying us for it.
What is the liability attached to it? Maybe.
But as long as...
What that liability do you have, how far it extends, I don't know.
Well, you saying let Hutch go over there with
no,
rope?
No.
Let them go get it.
Let them go get it. We don't want that money bringing it back across there. If they want to buy it, if we can do it, that's it. Don't tell them.
Just maybe have someone sit there and observe it while they can.
Oh, no. I just want to make sure we can do it right.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, in that school site, since 2015, with Hurricane Hermine, and I think the other one was Irma, when Shirt Island Beach gets torn away, we have utilized that spoil inside. Now, obviously, we don't utilize all of but that's what we, the county. The one on the east side, Hutch is keeping for that. Okay. We're talking about something across the berm there somewhere. That's going to have to be towed back with a front end loader. Okay. Can't just drive up there to it with a dump truck to get it. Okay. Now, the one that you can drive up there to a dump truck to get, he says, no,
how much
do
you want to pay,
I don't know.
I don't know what
to do. That's
something for Michael to look into.
You've got to have the correct insurance
and maintain the integrity of the berm. But I would say before we go to sell it any off-center, I need to get the city of, get with Horseshoe, the town, and see if they need any material before it starts going to someone else. My opinion.
They don't want to pay as much as this private man.
Really?
I brought it to y'all. It'll get it out way.
What's any different us got this land that we just sold?
It ain't no different. If you don't need it, sell it. If you need it, don't sell it.
There you go.
That's
all. Let's get to it. Okay.
You've done
it. Don't touch about it. I understand the work moment somewhere.
You got anything else?
Nah.
I don't want to get down there. We set up $25, $50 load, and he go down with equipment and create a catastrophe down there that's going to cost us more than what we did. So we need to make sure we got safeguards in place.
All right, my turn. I want to thank everyone for coming. Thank you for us having a good meeting so far. It ain't completely over with, but we had a good meeting. So now, Ms. Dorothy, it is your time. Come on up here to the...
I have been practicing this.
Well, you bet.
I'm about to get by each other. I'm telling you that right now. So I'm pretending, hey, I'm
Ethan. There you go.
Oh, no. I just said I'm Boise Freeman. I live on the short curve on 351 across from the Old Gibson Barn store. And, of course, Mr. Stevenson said the three times I mentioned that I'm here about, and Mr. Stevenson knows about this. And I just said I'm concerned about the safety issue of this short curve. And I had been praying for a long time, because I've been gone since September of 2021. So I've been praying for them signs to get back up. Well, number one, last Monday morning, I almost got hit by semi-truck. Well, that got my attention, because they're driving fast. And, of course, Mr. Pat, right?
Yes,
he remembers, because that was my number two, it has been proven to be a dangerous curve when the board decided not to allow a bar to be put there because of the liability. Now, that's a short story.
Yep.
And all the people there, not just me, all the people, when they pull it out, they're on you. Especially if there's not been 65.
Yep.
You know, and if I want to turn by the old Pickleball store to go on 351A, I'm praying, God, don't let no semi or a truck behind me, because if somebody's coming towards me, I can turn, and if I can't turn, I'm going to split off the lane. And you know, I am older, but I'm still doing good, and I don't get in the way. Okay, so of course, number three, this is the most important sign y'all need to hear about should we put that sign back? It is also where a school bus stops to pick up to let kids off morning and afternoon. Do we want, just look what happened in Levy County when a semi hit the back of the bus. So we ain't just talking about the people that are the bus stops there. So now we got, you know,
maybe we need to put a school bus stop sign there too.
That would help too, I mean, you know. And so now I would like to thank, you know, Mr. Stevenson, because he brought it up. Thank Mr. Hatt, that he remembered, I could not remember how many years ago that I had to come in here for that situation. And I didn't want to come in here now. But I said, you can pray about something all day, but God sometimes tells you to step back. And I just want to thank y'all that their 45 signs are going to be put back up, because we need them.
We
want to thank the whole board and especially Mr.
Thank you. I don't know if they're still here. Salty Secret Builders, LLC.
They were fooled.
Okay. Miss Campbell.
When I put my notes out, I like to get copies so everybody can actually read in case I miss a point. Hey, let's just hit our truth button. My name is Krista Campbell, and I live off Curtis Landing in Deer Creek. We moved there about 20 years ago, rural residential, beautiful. I got spoiled being in the middle of nowhere, coming up from Palm Beach, just so nice and quiet. Now, I caught wind of last week of somebody putting a campground just a couple blocks down from me in Deer Trail off Purvis Landing. So I'm like, well, my husband and I wanted to put 5 camp spots on our 12-acre property, well, when it was 10 acres, and we were shot down. And other people have tried having camp spots on their property, and they were shot down. I know I'm getting the cart before the horse in a sense, but I'm not. There's a company out of Largo, Florida that rents out RVs, and they want as a package deal with their people. They said, we've got 5-acre spot up there in Old Town. It's beautiful, walking distance from the river, and the springs are there. It's beautiful. Just get in touch with us, and we'll give you the cheat code to escape so you can get up there for free, part of the package deal of renting the RV. Really? Now, they've been advertising on Facebook, and I put in all their information, how to reach them or how to look at their site and all this. They advertise on their Facebook page, and it's still on the homepage, March 6th. We took matters in our own hands, and we got this beautiful 5 acres, and we'll be opening it up to our customers in 3 months. So Thursday, I finally got a hold of Mr. Leon, and I said, are you aware of a company called Florida Blue Sky Ventures? He said, no. I said, well, I'll fix it to tell you about it. Now, I don't just, you know, if I got something to gripe about, I don't just gripe.
Yeah.
I want to do my investigating. I want to ask questions. I want to do a horse's mouth. I want to find out what's going on. So I'm not blowing smoke up and wasting people's time. Somebody wants to put a campground in here. They haven't pulled any permits. They haven't even asked permission. The 5-acre lot was purchased not by the people's name, but by the company's name. You know, if nobody's going to live there, who's going to govern the campers that are going to be staying there? What are they going to do about trash? They're going to govern noise from camps, the fires and all this stuff. We're all residents that live around there. We don't want to have a business right there. And
can I place a word?
Where's my...
What did Leon tell you now? He's gone.
Oh, Leon didn't tell me anything.
I can tell you this is not going to be allowed in Dixie County.
I told him all of this.
I can answer your question. They're going to have to come up here before this board. I've got 25 acres on the river, and I've not done anything with it. I want to put a campground in. But you know what it's going to cost? About $2 million to put what I want to put in there to make it legal. That's the reason I haven't done so.
The reason why I wanted to bring it before the board is because they're already advertising in a public forum that they are going to do this. Purchase the property. They've cleared
it. Well, when the activity begins, you need to let...
Yeah, I don't want these people to come in and try to ask forgiveness instead of asking permission to begin with. That's not flying with me.
I'm the world's worst about looking at, and I'm probably just going to tell them myself, and I'm going to say, he's a snoot, and I do, and I look. I think I read your comment on this thing right here, so I called Leon and said, hey, did you know about this? He said, no. He said, but I'm going to look into that. I think he'd done previously spoke to you about it.
We spoke Thursday, and then I found out he was going to be on vacation this week, and I thought, well, should I go to the meeting or not? And I thought, no.
But I assure you that if they ask for forgiveness later, that's a bad approach.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
that's wrong.
That's already been tried a couple of times.
You can pull up their Facebook page, and very first thing, March 6th, they say, hey, if you start doing this, just call us so we keep codes to the gate.
When you say start moving in there, you let Mr. Freeman know with Leon and... I think
I went by there also and looked at the location with the code enforcement, and there's no power or anything there at this point. They have cleared the property and put up a fence.
Yeah.
And they got a bunch of signs out front that says, keep them this way. This one got like all like Otter Springs and
previous owner actually
all that stuff. Got a little air sticking up which way, but there's no electricity or any kind of site work going on at this time.
Unfortunately, we can't. This board, right? We've done this a number of times. Jody's been involved in some stuff. We can't prevent people from putting stuff on their property. What we do prevent is power, permits, blah, 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 blah. So, actually, if they want to put a fence up, put a side up, I mean, there's nothing we can do about that. But whenever it comes to the power side of it, the well permitting stuff, all that stuff is permitted. That's where we step in. But we can't stop someone.
No, I want you to be aware.
Yes, ma'am.
Because they're advertising
already.
You know, if they weren't advertising and it was just word of mouth, you know, that's
right.
I wouldn't waste your time.
Right.
They're advertising in public forum already that this is going to happen in 3 months, and that was March 6th when they posted that.
Right.
And so that kind of got to me. But a question I have, because I kept Googling things and I couldn't figure it out, what exactly is DSA?
Yes, environmental
sensitive area. Okay. Somebody had mentioned on their Facebook, you know, you can't do this, and I'm going to fight tooth and nail, and, you know, and they're going, well, why should it bother you? This is not your concern. You live up on Purvis Landing. And you know, you can't tell us what to do. And, no, it's not rural residential. It's ESA coded. And I was like, okay, so what does that mean? And if nobody's going to live there, can they have a chance for their customers to just go, if there's nobody living there, nobody's going to govern? And that's where my concern is.
Which is a very valid concern.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to hear a bunch of noise except for, you know, the wild critters and the neighbor's farm critters. But you know, if you got people that are partying and stuff, yeah, it opens the door to, I know I'm stretching here. Who's to say some drug dealer could just rent an RV, set up shop for a couple days, and then he's gone? It's like, well, look, this is happening here. And there's nobody there to oversee us. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention. Leon knows about it. Mr. Steve knows about it. Now y'all know about it.
Thank you.
Please do not use this for toilet paper. Just check them out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Outlaw.
I pretty much have my say, but I want to thank you. I'm very impressed with the board, your due diligence, your attention to detail, the support you have with your attorney and whatnot. My apologies if I got out of hand a little bit, but that's where I come from. My family's been in Dixon County for nearly 70 years. I live in Charlotte County, south of here. And I certainly do not wish the growing pains in Dixon County like what we've had in South Florida. Protect yourselves. Go this way, damn cancer. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to speak? Anybody else? I need a motion to adjourn. We got a motion and a second. We got a motion by Mr. Sixer, a second by Mr. Mills, and all in favor. Aye.
So, baby.
Got one thing.
Bye, bud.
Harvest.
Thank you for asking your question. Answer CP.